What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It was amazing to me that Rick Smith, I think, was their general manager in Houston.
Yes.
And he was the one who drafted Deshaun Watson. And then here you have Bill O'Brien, and he had a pretty good team, and then he wouldn't protect Deshaun Watson.
And he traded away DeAndre Hopkins.
Right, well, that's the point. Well, the first step in this is you get Deshaun Watson as a head coach, and you don't protect him. And then they give you more responsibilities, and they say, hey, you can be our GM, too. And then you go, and you shouldn't be surprised that he trades DeAndre Hopkins. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
His some of his rationale was stupid as a coach. Why would you ever want to give him then added responsibilities to shape the entire franchise as a general manager?
Very good question.
He's been fired. And we have our own problems here. Maybe the Bears can trade Ryan Pace and Mitch Trubisky to Houston for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
312-332-3776 if you want to talk Bears. We've had a lot of great Bears calls. The Bears play Tampa. Tom Brady coming to town. They had a great second half to come from behind and win their game. And that's Thursday night football. We have so many questions about the offense. We also had questions when it hit with Cap's story over the weekend that Theo could leave early. And he didn't deny that today. In the press conference that he had at 11 a.m. this morning, he said he still hasn't met with Tom Ricketts, and the succession plan will happen, but the plan as of now is for him to fulfill his obligation through 2021.
Didn't Jed come with him?
Yes. Jed
doesn't believe in the 10-year plan that Theo believes in.
No. Okay. That was Theo, and Theo reiterated that today. One of his first thoughts was, remember when I first got hired? He did not run from, I'm leaving, it's just a matter of when. It's either going to be in a year from now, when my last year runs out, or, you know, who knows, maybe he's negotiating to get Jed the job, and maybe Tom Ricketts doesn't want to play that game. And then maybe Theo says, well, then I'll leave early. If you're not going to give Jed the job, then why am I staying?
Right.
If I'm not, you know. So I don't know how this is going to go, but he did not shut the door on leaving early. He did say anything could happen, but he did pretty much shut the door on a contract extension, citing numerous times his philosophy about being at one place for a decade. Here's the second part that I took away from this, Waddle, as I watched this live. Our biggest questions about the Cubs has been with their bats.
Yes.
Why are the good names on the back of the jersey not living up to what we expect them to do because of previous performance? And Russell Dorsey from the Sun-Times basically asked Theo straight out, has this core run its course?
Because of all the unknowns, I don't think we're in a position to definitively state, you know, that this is an end. At the same time, like I talked about being accountable and owning it, like we can't continue to run the exact same offense, the exact same group of guys out there and expect better results. So I think the best way to approach this is that acknowledging that we're at a period of real transition, you know, and some of these guys are going to be parts of the solution in the next productive Cubs offense and there's also going to be contributions from guys who are not in the organization right now. So, you know, we've had a lot of belief in this group to our benefit over 6 years and everything that we accomplished. And we don't have to go over it again. We talked about it ad nauseum last week, but including in October of 2015, 16, and 17. And, you know, if one wants to turn that around and say that it's been to our detriment the last three Octobers, I can own that too. You know, we have not lived up to our expectations the last three Octobers, and ultimately that's something we have to own as a group, and I have to wear that as a leader and as an executive. That belief I think, well-founded in what they've done for this franchise and what they've accomplished on the field. But I acknowledge we've fallen short. We don't have that dominant offensive core, productive offensive core showing up every year at the most important times like we thought we would have. So I think it's important to be open, or clear-minded, clear-eyed about what we have and what we need to do better, and the need for some change, without, you know, declaring an end for all these players. Like, these players are 27 years old, 28 years old, 30 years old, 31 years old. Like, these players have a lot of great baseball left and are clear assets. And I look forward, you know, for many of them, I look forward to seeing them write some more history for the Chicago Cubs, and others ultimately will end up, you know, having productive years elsewhere. So it's just part of change. Is it an end? No. Is it a bit of a crossroads and clearly a period of transition? Yes.
So that, I thought that was really good. And he talked about the goal next year is to still win the division, but yet setting the franchise up for future success. And he termed it, you know, it's like threading a needle.
Yeah,
you know, it's tough to do.
Real quick, I mean, when you go back and look at 2019's numbers, you wonder why they couldn't put it together at the right time. Chris Bryant hit 31 home runs. Javi hit 29. Schwarber hit 38. Hayward hit 21. Rizzo hit 27. Contreras hit 24. Now, you would think if I gave you those totals, that was a 2019 regular season, you'd have been like, oh, they probably mashed in the postseason as well, wouldn't you? They didn't get there.
No. They didn't get there.
That's crazy, isn't it?
And they haven't mashed. And all of them have like a 100-something average, a 1-something average in the postseason since the World Series.
Yeah.
Javi, KB, Rizzo, you know, and he talked about them.
Schwarber, 38 home runs, 92 driven in. He hit 250, and he had an on-base percentage of 339. Those were his numbers in 19.
You would take that every year. But what was he this year? He was sub-200, wasn't he, for the year? I don't even know if he got back to 200.
He was 188 with an on-base percentage of 308. Now, I think a valid question is, had they played an entire 162 games, would those numbers have evened out and grown closer to what his normal numbers would be? I think it's a fair question. I think that you look at 2020 and it's meaningful, but you have to put it in context. I don't think you make all of your decisions based on what you saw this year in a small sample size in a really difficult environment, but it has to factor into the equation. But you do wonder who they would have been over the course of a 162-game season.
Chris, can I play one more, the third one,
yeah,
the third bite? This is, Waddle, this pertains to all of them, and this is what we've talked about with the Cubs. Javi's back, but he's got a one-year deal left. Rizzo's back for 1 year. KB's back, but for 1 year. So, like, what about these guys with just 1 year left on their deal? And do you bring them back or do you trade them at, like, stock low when it's uncertain how much you can get for players these days? Take a listen to Theo's answer.
Yeah, you know, I think, again, just uncertainty rules the day, and we have to hunt for information every day and try to make a proper forecast, because you can't always wait to get full information before you have to act and make decisions. But I think certain there are going to be certain fundamentals that are true of this winter and of this market that have been true for decades. And one of those is that, you know, especially relevant in our situation, but that, you know, a 1 year deal for a really talented player is a valuable thing. And that's to our benefit, both with what, you know, what we can do in constructing the 2021 team and having an additional year of control on certain players, and also potentially to our benefit in the trade market, or as we look to make some changes. So I just think that's a fundamental that, you know, look, if you can bring back really talented players who've done some special things in this game on 1 year deals, and have those either to build your roster or to go out in the trade marketplace, that's, uh, that's a good position to be in.
That's what we talked about, Waddle. Like, are you better off bringing them back at 1 year?
Yeah, I agree.
Deal, you know, and just in hoping they recapture it. And if they don't and they're not good, then you trade them off at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm with you. Again, because of the uncertain financial landscape that's ahead for Major League Baseball, you don't know what some of these valuable commodities are actually worth in the trade market. Like, you may not get anything close to what you would consider to be fair value. So if that's the case, and there's uncertainty in the trade market, why wouldn't you go into the season pretty much status quo in some areas? Not everywhere, but in some areas, with some of your top players, as you mentioned, see how they perform. If you're rolling, roll with it. If you're not, then maybe see what you can get for them.
Especially when you have like 3, 4, 5 teams who may take Chris Bryant for that half year.
Right.
You know, and he could help them win a World Series, you know, or something like that. Instead of just giving Chris Bryant to a team and you get 2B-level prospects.
Listen, you may decide at some point, too, whatever happens, that maybe things change. Maybe one or two of them is willing to take less than they were willing to take before. I mean, what you're doing is you're buying time by not making any decision in the offseason. But with that in mind, I still think that there will be at least some change. I don't know how significant it'll be until the trade deadline, but I don't think you go to the season with the same exact crew.
All right, if you want to react to what you heard from Theo, but there was really the long and short of it is there wasn't really much news today because he, again, said that his future will be dictated by this Tom Ricketts meeting, and he plans on being here for 2021, but did not close the door of leaving early. 312-332-3776 to talk some Bears. We focused a lot on the offense. How about some of the brutal mistakes, the awful mistakes they made yesterday in the Lakefront? I want to take you through some of those awful mistakes next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That Bear defense, 3-4, big time player, number 96, Akeem Hicks.
Missed 11 games last year because of an elbow injury, and it's good to have him back in the lineup playing well.
Speaking of big-time players, how about Khalil Mack?
He is what I refer to, Greg, as an all-day sucker. I mean, he just, you're going to have to account and deal with him all day long.
An all-day sucker, have you heard that term before?
All-day sucker.
I can't say that I have in the football world.
All-day sucker.
I guess it's, you know, it lasts all day. I mean, I get it. I mean, I don't.
The opposite of a Tootsie Pop where it just takes 3 licks to get to the center? Is that what he's saying, or is he?
Don't like, may,
it
or
sounded
just like,
really odd to me yesterday from Rich Cannon on CBS.
All-day sucker.
I've heard the phrase all-day MF-er in a positive way.
Yeah, we're the all-day suckers because yeah. Every day we keep coming back to the Bears.
Yeah. Hey, look at them. They're 3-0. Oh, they're going to be great.
All-day sucker.
I mean, listen, I get what he was saying because you're going to have to – listen, you're going to be here all afternoon having to deal
right.
with him.
Yes, yes. Before we get back to the Bears calls, and I've got a list of mistakes that I don't know if you remember all of them. I wrote them down. It was crazy. I wanted to take Felix because he wanted to respond to the Theo stuff, and then we'll get back to the Bears. Felix in Humboldt Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Felix?
What's going on, Warren Sylvie?
Hey.
Hey, I just, like what Theo said, he said something about, he was talking about he's in a good place to have a 1-year contract. But by example, let's just say Javi, Rizzo, Bryant, by the All-Star break, they're having 24, 25 home runs, 60 RBIs, they're having a decent good years. Do we sign these guys to a long term? Do we trade one and keep on building off the half of the court? Or if they struggle, do we trade him off at low cost? I mean, he's caught between a rock. I don't understand where he's saying that he's in a good place. Where he's not, because if he says if they have a good year, these guys are gonna want their money. And Ricketts might say, we're kind of in a situation where this whole, you know, I can't afford all these guys, and then we're gonna trade off, and then the fan base is going to be mad because we traded away some of the core players and they're having a good year. So I think he's caught between where good and bad. I don't know. I don't get what you're saying.
No, you're right.
He's
it's not a good spot. Felix, it's not a good spot to be in, Waddle. I mean, this is not what you intended to do. You intended to have some of these guys locked up, and now with regression, it's the most confusing part to figure out.
Yes, but by the same token, if you had locked up both of them and their trend is downward, then would you have been in a bigger quandary?
Do
you know what I'm saying? If you'd have given $300 million to Brian, $260 million to Javi, and for whatever reason next year, the first 80 games look like the last 60 games here, then what are you saying?
Then you're like saying we spent some bad money right there. We're stuck.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he can also kind of reference the, hey, listen, you know what? We got some budget issues right now, and I can't afford to sign anybody to a long-term extension that isn't something that is quote-unquote team-friendly, so we're just going to play this out a little bit.
Yeah. I wanted to take you through this as we get back to the Bears. This is like we talked a lot about the offense. We talked about Nagy. We talked about how the Bears don't have their forever quarterback, whether it's Foles struggling, whatever it is. But, like, listen to some of these of what happened yesterday. Remember how the game started, guys. The Bears get the ball. They punt. What happened on that first punt?
Blocked.
Blocked. Right away then after the blocked punt, pass interference on Kyle Fuller. Then later, Khalil Mack has the interception go through his arms. Like, you're talking about some of these awful, awful mistakes. Then you come out in the third quarter, and you go three and out in the first possession of the third quarter, and the very first play of the three and out after halftime, Leno allows the sack on the very first play. Like, right away you throw on first down, and Leno is putting you behind the chains at, like, second and 18. And then the second possession of the third quarter starts, and you catch a punt on the 10-yard line and fair catch it. Or they caught it, something like that. And guess what happened? Buster Screen got called for a holding call. Now you got to start the drive on the damn 5-yard line. And then what I said was the worst thing to happen was, again, you think Cordero Patterson is a wide receiver again. And you go deep to Cordero Patterson and he alligator arms it. And he's got the nerve. As good as he is on special teams.
Great special teamer.
Great special teamer. He just dropped a touchdown. He's got the nerve to make a play on special teams to take off his helmet and to get flagged for 15 yards right in the shadow of dropping a touchdown pass? How do you do that? How are you posing? You're running around the field with your helmet off, getting penalized for 15 yards after you just dropped a touchdown? Like, this is Bush League stuff.
8 penalties for 103 yards total yesterday.
We didn't talk about Eddie Jackson's missed tackles or Eddie Jackson's pass interference. I mean, there were just so many mistakes out there yesterday aside from just bad play calling and bad quarterback play.
It was not clean. It was not a clean game at all. I thought the Colts defense, not only are they good, they fly around. I use a Wani phrase. They're flying around. But, like, they not only played better, they played faster, and they played smarter. Like,
when did Leonard leave the game, too?
They lost him. I forget exactly when it was, but he's their best defensive player.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean,
they lose Darius Leonard and what? And how many points did the Bears capitalize with?
None. I mean, they had three really meaningful points all day. I mean, I'm with Carm. I don't count the other 8. I mean, I know they count, but like that game, that was the trap people fell into last year, even with an 8-8 record. Oh, a kick here and a kick there. No, like the loss to the Packers, the loss to the Saints, and the loss to the Eagles were all significantly more damning than the final score. I think you could say the same thing about the Chiefs game as well.
Yeah.
Like, they were never in any of those 4 games.
You know, you're right.
Like, you're 8-8, and you were 29th, but I think a fairly decent-sized portion of even those 29th-ranked statistics were fool's gold.
Kevin in Plainfield, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Kev.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hey. Good afternoon.
I know I agree with all the mistakes and everything, and how that wasn't a big factor with the loss. I'm calling in talking about the offensive line. I called him this morning, talked to Cap, and he brought up how Afidi was up against DeForest Buckner, brought up the salaries and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, all right, we know that this guy, Afidi, is not going to play so well versus DeForest Buckner because how good DeForest is. So why don't we change the scheme and add another blocker to him? And I'm thinking, like, playing the Colts, looking at the Colts, they've done a great job to protect their quarterback throughout the years. And I'm thinking the Bears need to maybe, like, use their philosophy and next year draft offensive linemen early. I know Trevathan's getting old, so they're probably looking there also. But I really think if we would have drafted offensive linemen earlier in this year's draft instead of Komet, because we're really not even using him and we drafted him so high. We had the 25th ranked offensive line last year. This year, preseason, PFF ranked us 22nd, ranked the Texans at 19. We got 8 sacks given up this year. Feels like 0-4, if you ask me. You know, yesterday was a really embarrassing loss. National television, whole world saw it, you know. Just really embarrassing, if you ask me. Love to hear what you guys got to say about that, and have a great evening.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Look, the offensive line to me is a really big issue. They looked better in weeks 1 and 2 against the Lions and then the Giants, and then it didn't look so good against the Falcons, and then yesterday it didn't look good at all.
No, they don't have a star on the line.
No. Yeah,
they don't have a star quarterback.
Now listen, to his point, like, they drafted Cole Kmet in the second round. Playing. You're playing Jalen Johnson, and he's fine out there. I mean, he'll make a mistake every now and again, but for the most part, that young player is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what's going on with Cole that he can't find more time on the field in standard offense.
Yes, your second-round pick has to be good and be good
pretty
quickly.
I mean, Mooney's out there. Mooney was, what, a fifth-round pick?
Yes, he was a fifth-round
pick. And he's become a guy that I think outside of, only Allen Robinson's getting more snaps as a wide receiver. I just don't know why Cole Kmet isn't getting more opportunities. He's been targeted. I heard Carm say this. He's been targeted, what, twice in the last two games or three times in the last two games?
Craziness. It's absolutely. It's crazy. You try to fix your tight end position, and the guy who's supposed to be the future isn't getting targeted next to the two older guys.
That offensive, listen, I gave you the thought earlier in the show about if you go through the teams that are good, like, you could point to a lot of things. Josh Allen's been a better quarterback than I thought he would be. He's been really good. Their offensive line is good in Buffalo.
You have to have
the
a good
Patriots line. Are a good offensive line. The Steelers, the Ravens, the Browns, the Titans, the Colts, the Chiefs, the Raiders, the
that's
Packers are playing
so,
better.
That's why I'm so down on Pace. When you quarterback shop for Glennon and Trubisky and for Foles, and then you put a patchwork line like that together, what have you accomplished in 5 or 6 years that you've been GM? What have you done? And I don't trust him going forward. 312-332-3776. All your Bears calls coming up.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
It's a Bears Monday on Waddle and Sylvie. Not a victory Monday, just the usual Bears Monday.
We're not down Victory Boulevard Lane today.
Or Avenue. Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. Still very proud to bring you a Bears Monday. And we welcome everyone inside the Twitch channel, which is brand new. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Waddle, wave to the camera. I could see you on there. I could see all the people in the chat room. And
been giving Dusty Baker some advice at the breaks. I don't think he's been listening to me, but I've been giving him some advice at the breaks.
Sylvie, did you know that Tom Waddle is a better manager than Dusty Baker?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think that'll come to surprise Sylvie to him.
The guy you used to work with worships Dusty for some reason. I don't think he's a good manager.
Who's that, Jonathan Hood?
No,
we still work together at Chicago's College Tailgate on Saturdays.
I said, who you used to work with on a daily basis.
Danny Zerman? Yeah, he's a big Jayhawk fan. I agree.
He is. Boy, that football Jeff team Miller? In Kansas sucks.
What did I tell you? Keep betting against Kansas. Always bet against Kansas.
Who's coaching them right now?
Les Miles.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Mad Hatter.
That's good.
Doesn't taste so good down there, does it?
Oh, God.
they suck. He eats the grass on the field before he he walks onto the field
he takes a few blades,
puts in his mouth, gives it a little taste.
Gets a good
you
chew.
You just got to dodge the turd that Charlie Weiss left you there couple of years ago when you eat some of that grass. That's the thing.
There was always cheap shotted, good natured, funny joke about Mangini to
Charlie Weiss.
Yeah,
right.
Was it Mangino?
Mangino.
Yeah, all you had to do was like hem the pants or something like that.
Yeah, the only reason Charlie Weiss got hired is he fit the suit. He fit the Kansas Jayhawk gear that they had made for Mark Mangino.
It's awful.
And then we always said that they at
field
least
always tips
they had the edge because the field tipped their way.
Good night.
I would say continue to bet against Kansas until they stop proving me wrong.
Suck. Yeah. Take that, Danny. Take that.
Very throatal with that. Chase on the South Side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chase?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. Everything's good.
That's good. I'm glad to hear you doing well. So y'all been keeping in my prayers. So
thank you, Chase. Appreciate you, and you make me laugh when you call.
I'm glad to hear that. I wanted to tell you. Remember, you were talking about the Jimmy Graham the signing, and you remember now. That money they spent on Jimmy Graham, now wouldn't it make sense for them they could use that money and got Cam Newton?
Of course. And they could have gotten Cam for half the money that Jimmy Graham cost them
$9 million guaranteed. I believe it was 2 years, $16 million, $9 million guaranteed.
And is it just me? If you guys notice something, do you think Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn, do you think the guys are still hurting? Because maybe that's probably why they're not as effective as we expect them to be, because it seemed like every week he's on the injury report is questionable and limited, and they saying it's about his knee. And I'm wondering if maybe the Quintus might be a little bit banged up. Maybe that's probably why these guys aren't as effective as we normally be. I'm just wondering about that, why they're not as effective.
It's an interesting question.
Quinn's not been on the injury report, though, the last 2 weeks.
No, he hasn't.
Mac has.
He had the ankle injury that kept him out of the opener against the Lions. Mac has consistently been listed as questionable, but has played pretty much every game, every snap of every game.
Doesn't it look like Robert Quinn gets winded quickly because he had no camp?
Could be.
You know, he was out. Like, they're resting him more. Aren't they resting some of these guys more where they're not in on every pass rush down?
You know, I'd have to check the snap chart, but that sounds right. I know Barkevious Mingo has gotten a lot of run. Maybe at the expense of Robert Quinn. They only bring Quinn in for predominantly pass rushing situations. Chris, do you have like the snap count chart?
Pick that up, and we'll look.
What I want to know is if we keep saying, okay, well, Mac's getting double and triple teamed, and he keeps getting chipped. Where are these other guys that are stepping up?
No, exactly.
Isn't that supposed to free up someone?
Yeah,
like, I'm not saying they're going to go unblocked or anything, but it should make it easier for certain guys. I know Danny Trevathan had a good play yesterday, but ultimately, like, this should free every time we say, well, Mac's getting triple teamed and double teamed and all that kind of, and they're chipping him and all
like,
that kind of
Danny
stuff.
Did Danny Urban get the sack when Khalil Mack had pressure initially?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, he cleaned that up, right? Yeah. That's a credit to the pressure that Mack was putting on.
I remember texting you guys for the Atlanta game. I thought Dirk Cutter was on the cusp of making a fireable offense play calling mistake by not putting more. Giving more help to whoever was in charge of blocking Khalil Mack, because I thought he was very disruptive against the Falcons. But I don't think in general this year that he's seen as many double and triple teams as he has in the past. What does your eye tell you? I don't think I've seen that.
It's a great question for somebody who watches the coaches tape and watches every single play and charge.
I don't usually watch it.
We need to get somebody on.
Yeah, I don't
that,
usually
though,
watch
specialists
that.
Yeah. That you look for the offense.
Yes,
I don't
look at the defense.
Right, we got to get like a Baldy on, someone in that vein. Marco in New York, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Marco?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
So, first, Well, first of all, I've never met you guys, but, you know, the amount that I've listened to you over the last 10 years, I consider you guys almost family. And Sylvie, we're with you now as you turn the corner. I remember when JD shared his, like, personal loss a few years ago, it really hit me personally. So Sylvie strong and ESPN 1000 strong, for that matter.
Thank you, Marco.
Yeah. Anyways, couple Bears complaints. Just, you know, first of all, just, want to do an audible grunt across the Chicago airwaves. And basically the story of this team continues. You know, so it makes you think of the Einstein quote, the stupidity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Well, you know, it's literally makes me feel so stupid, games like yesterday do. And the main kind of interesting anecdote that I read about it is that the running game in the second half, I believe it was every run play was out of the I formation except for the two-point conversion. And obviously every time they threw it, I don't know if they had any runs that were out of the gun other than the two-point conversion. Which just goes to show the predictability of when it comes to the strategy and Nagy of this. It seems like it's just not his mistakes. You guys were talking about the offensive line before. Obviously, predictability is the ultimate killer of the offensive line, even when they don't have the ultimate talent on that position. So that kind of leads me to a question from my point is they keep on failing with these, like, offensive guru guys. You know, we had Trestman, which, I mean, I'm not comparing Nagy to Trestman. Nagy has proven himself to be the leader of men or whatever they say. But, you know, the Bears have this, like, multi-generational inability to put together an offense we don't need to scratch our eyes out to be able to watch. And it's just it only comes to the very top of the organization and how they assess people in the end, it seems like. I don't know what else it could be at this point. I wanted to hear your comment on that.
I keep saying again, yes, there have been some really bad offensive coordinators. We've tried with some head coaches as offensive coordinators. But I just believe that the ultimate equalizer is if you have a quarterback that it is so under the microscope for these OCs because we never have a good quarterback. We've just never had it. And I understand that there's a lot wrong with Nagy's playbook and everything like that. But again, is what the Packers doing so great, or is it just Aaron Rodgers is there every year?
I think if you watch the Packers early on this year, I think their offensive line is more solid and better.
Like, but they still have Aaron Rodgers to take advantage
absolutely,
of everything.
Absolutely, but okay, let's use the Cleveland Browns as an example. They were a dumpster fire last year. What did Kevin Stefanski do? Focused more on running. He's under center. They're not asking him to throw it 50 times a game. They're relying on their offensive line and their 1-2 punch. I think Chubb's out now for a while with a knee injury. But they've become a team that now is a run-first team, and it takes pressure. With Jarvis Landry and with Odell Beckham Jr., and they gave Austin Hooper, the tight end, a lot of money in free agency, and yet they're still a run-first team.
Right. But, I mean, do you really want to be the Browns? I mean, I understand what you're saying. I want to be great in the offensive line. But every team that has a chance to win the Super Bowl, whether it's Baltimore and Lamar Jackson and Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes and Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, they all have a studded quarterback. Very rarely is there these days a team that comes in, you know, Philly did it. The Rams did it with their coaching a couple years ago, getting there. Russell Wilson in Seattle. Like, you've got to have a top five, top 10 quarterback.
There's no doubt, but you've also got to have an offensive line that can help out. And I would say the San Francisco 49ers are the best example of that recently. I like Jimmy Garoppolo a lot. They got to the Super Bowl last year by running a more balanced offense where running the football and your passing game off of the run game took a lot of pressure off of Jimmy Garoppolo.
I have the snap count, guys. What was the question?
About did Robert Quinn sit more? Like, it seems to me like they're sitting guys more because of no preseason and maybe them, you know, with COVID and everything, that they seem to get winded easier these days.
And shout out to Kevin Fishbane. He put this out on Twitter, so follow Kate Fishbane.
Great. Yeah, great.
Quinn played 32 snaps, which is 44%.
How many did Mingo play?
Mingo played 25, which is 35% of the snaps.
How about Mac?
Mac played 63, which is 88%.
Right. It seems to me what they're doing is they're giving Quinn rest by bringing Mingo in.
Right, right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, he had personal issues during the shortened training camp to begin with. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It seems, I don't know if he's in shape yet. Is he? I mean,
it's a good question.
If you're getting 44% of snaps out of your big money free agent, that doesn't seem right, does it?
No, it doesn't feel right for sure. Give me the snap count for Cole Kmet if you can, please.
Four.
Oh man,
good job.
15-24% of the offense.
24%.
Yeah, 24.
He was your first draft pick.
Yeah. Graham was 41 snaps for 66%. Who else you want to know?
What's his name? The third string tight end from Cleveland they got.
Demetrius Harris.
Yeah,
is it?
It seems like he's on the field too much.
23 snaps for 37%.
Yeah.
How about that?
Why is he playing more than Cole Kmet?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
And they're throwing it to him still.
Yes, they are.
332-3776. Also, shout out for Good, Bad, Dirty, too. I've got one guy who fits all three categories. That's coming up in your calls next. The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping by using the discount code Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
We've had so many calls that we haven't gotten a chance to get to the good, the bad, the dirty, which is brought to you by our friends at White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in all 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly. I at least just want to give a shout-out because he was good. He was great. And he was a bad man. And his game last night was one of the dirtiest NBA final performances ever. Jimmy Butler. I want to just give a shout-out to him.
Shout-out to Jimmy Butler.
Shout-out.
That was some performance.
40-10-13, something like that?
Yeah, 40-point triple-double in the NBA 11-13. Finals.
Woo!
And then, awesome. And then Greeny was talking about like the 70-some percent shooting two in there. Was amongst the greatest ever too. I'm not putting him on a platform of some of the other great players of the past, but that performance was statistically as good as we've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Can I offer a shout out too?
Sure, give a shout out.
It's a shout out Monday.
Shout out to Gar Foreman. I hope he was watching last night. Shout out.
That was dirty.
Jimmy and the kids.
What do you mean?
Would look
How was it dirty? He did us dirty. We could still have Butler.
I know, but shouting out to him, like...
I hope he watched. It was good basketball. Okay. Great performance.
You realize what the butterfly effect would have been if Butler was still here and, like, the first day that Boylan
What's
tried to
beat
Coach? What's
the butterfly effect?
The butterfly effect
is the ripple.
The ripple effect of Butler still being here. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. The ripple effect of Butler still being here, like, it would have never led to... It probably would have never led to Boylan being the coach.
Have you never heard of the butterfly effect?
I thought it was something that wasn't right for the air, but I guess,
What is happening? What effect are you talking about?
Chris in Cole City and Gideon and Niles, please hold on a second. What did you think of the butterfly effect was?
I had no idea.
What did you think it was?
I didn't know. It just sounded like something that maybe was not appropriate. I don't know. Hence the reason why.
Bravo.
The butterfly effect. It sounds a little bit cagey.
What else do you think is another statement that you think is actually something
dirty?
Could
be dirty, yeah.
Good question. Yeah. I don't know. But this one, I wouldn't think that this would be, like, horrible, but I thought that, I don't know, I thought maybe that was something that wasn't
my anniversary's coming up this month. You think
butterfly
effect for my anniversary?
I don't know. Is Jim Boylan involved?
I don't think so. Not if Butler was going to be here that long.
So the butterfly effect, for people who don't know, is... When you make one
it's
different
move,
it's
when a man
move, right?
and a woman love each other, Sylvie.
And they wrap themselves up in a cocoon, and then a little bit later, instead of two, there's
Wilford
three.
Wilford Brimley, may he rest in peace, is there for some reason.
Yeah.
It's when one small difference would have been made on how the different life would have gone on, correct? Like the flap of a butterfly wing?
Yes, correct.
Basically?
Yeah.
So like, if Jimmy would have stayed, how that would have affected life as the Bulls going forward.
There was a movie back in the day, The Butterfly Effect.
Yes, I do remember that. But that was, who was in that?
Ashton Kutcher.
And Amy Smart, right?
Did you think that was a porn?
No, I just didn't, like, I don't feel like
about a butterfly tattoo. And
I don't know, but I don't feel like my life has been negatively affected by not knowing what it was. Like, I don't, there's some things when I go, oh, hell, I didn't know that. I'm like, that would have been great if I'd have known that. Like, I don't give a dump about not knowing that. I don't. Like, I don't feel like my life is, I don't feel like my life has been any less rewarding because I didn't know what that was. But there have been other things where I was like, hell, are you kidding me? I could have done that.
Well, I don't know if you would actually do something with it. It's just something to ponder.
Yeah.
Something you could think about. What if you would have caught that pass in the 85 Super Bowl? Like, how would your life be different if you would have caught that pass in the back of the end zone?
A freshman in college.
I mean, like, that's what you have to think about.
No, it's garbage time, and you guys were already up 46-10.
Like, but, like, how,
but
like,
still,
think of it.
How do you drop that pass, and how
what if
you
would have kept the ball away from Walter?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, you'd be hated.
I can't look at you with glasses on in there, Abdallah.
I have a sty.
I know you've got a sty, but it's like I'm not used to seeing you wear glasses.
It's not comfortable.
Can you go in front of the camera so we could see you on Twitch?
Don't get your sty next to me.
Are they contagious styes? I know pink eye is contagious.
I don't think a sty is contagious.
I don't think so, but he should maybe.
It's like a pimple on your eyelid, isn't it?
Don't get close, though.
Styes are not contagious. It's a
pimple protocol.
On your eyelid. No, essentially, yeah. It's when
take your glasses off. Let me see it.
Zoom in on that sty.
Whoa, that's a sty.
Yeah, it's a sty.
Pop
you
it.
Can't wear contacts
can
when
you
have
it.
Move
pop
over
it.
A little bit.
No,
I
you're not supposed
just,
to. You can't
I
pop
just see the
I've heard that there have been people that have had to have them surgically.
Yeah, this one's gone down. Last week, you should have seen him. I was all swollen. Like, it was
how do you
bad.
Get him?
They just
head, foot, and mouth? Or something
no,
like that?
You just get him.
Something like that?
I read that people with contacts are more prone to them.
Oh, really?
Because
you're always touching your face.
You're behind the DraftKings logo. Could you move over so we can see?
I don't
see?
Have headphones on, so.
Yeah,
you gotta move over.
You gotta move over
move
this
over.
Way. Take your glasses off.
Don't get too
show
close to Waddle, though.
Show your sty to the community. That feels, oh, man, that looks
pop
like it hurts.
Pop it.
Waddle, pop his thigh.
It doesn't hurt. It's just painful to wear contacts.
Yeah, it's tough to see.
I like that. I couldn't. Like, the thought of popping someone else's zits is like gross. In that show, what is that show on?
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, gross.
Oh, that show is nasty.
Oh, I just, my mouth started to water like I'm going to puke thinking about
it. That's completely gross.
Mr. Pimple Popper.
That's like what the Bears offense gave us. They were a pimple popping offense yesterday, and that was it. And we'll talk about that coming up in 2 minutes. 312-332-3776. Waddle, I know you said some stuff earlier, too, where you sort of wanted to address the, hey, let's just blame Mitch Trubisky for this one. Can I go after some of those tweeters,
please
too?
Do. Please
I'd like
do.
To do that in two
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, please do.